train. What do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
Take two, round number two of Stunt Granny Audio 150, the spectacular or something like that. I don't remember what I used the first time, but since it didn't record, I get to say it all over again.
I like take two, part two. That has something of a ring to it, and it sounds about right for our site.
Jesus Christ. At least we only got like a minute into it and realized it wasn't recording, but all of our best material was in that 1 minute, so you're screwed now.
Yeah, right. Well, this was an impromptu spectacular. That was the one thing that we mentioned. We did not exactly plan this one out.
No, we were only supposed to cover small sections of the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. We ended up covering the entire show. So here we are. We're going to talk about Monday Night Raw, but also some of the happenings in between. CM Punk was all over the place after winning. And I think one thing we didn't cover on the pay-per-view roundup was the end. This kind of goes into
his celebration.
The Monday. Yeah, it was a celebration. And then McMahon telling Del Rio, he's like, all right, get him down here. Like Del Rio had no choice. So I like that they played off of the obvious. Everyone was expecting it. Dusty and I were messaging back and forth. All right, here's where it comes. Del Rio walks out with the belt.
Yeah.
So I really like the fact they played that up, and then I saw someone on one of the message boards write, well, why doesn't Punk just run off? And that's exactly what he did. I thought that was great.
Yeah, no, he kicks Del Rio in the head, which is believable. Like, if the guy's just walking into the ring and you kind of – you're a dick anyway – it's not like CM Punk has to go by babyface rules. I mean, I know he was getting the pop, but he just boots him in the head and's like, I'm out of here.
Yeah, and I like the blowing of the kiss to McMahon and then the running off. Oh, that was a nice touch. So,
yeah, no, he does so many of those little touches oh so well.
Yeah, and that basically led him to the celebrating in the streets. TMZ... as you were pointing out before, carried news coverage of CM Punk. And I love how they said partying or celebrating, which is probably the dullest celebration I've ever seen. Three guys walking around downtown Chicago with the WWE title in Diet Pepsi cans. I mean...
Yeah, no, that does... if you're gonna rock without the use of drugs and/or alcohol, at least have an entourage. Like when it's only you and your two buddies, it looks kind of lame. And then when every now and again you can recruit two maybe just older than high school women to post in the pictures.
Yeah, well, hey, good for him.
Well, yeah, hey, as long as they're over 18, good for him. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't really make for much of a celebration. Like, even if they would have had the people at the establishment that they were going to in the picture, or at least some of them, it really would have helped out a lot to make it feel like a party more. Like, when it's just three dudes, you know.
Yeah, but I think that goes with his style, though. A big entourage like that wouldn't have made any sense, you know? And then, but then also having like hot young chicks with him is right up his, you know, his rumored reputation, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, he's banging out some chick. That's what I put in the post yesterday. Hopefully he banged out some of these chicks to celebrate, you know? But he doesn't have an addiction to drugs or alcohol, but, well.
Yeah,
you can't get addicted to other things. So, and good for him as a single man. Bang out, man. Who cares?
Yeah, I wish. I wish I had that kind of luck.
Yeah, no kidding. All you have to do is win a WWE title and have really skinny calf muscles. Wow. I didn't realize how big his boots were until I saw that picture of him with those flats and in his shorts. He's got he has no calf muscles at all.
For being a small dude, he does have small calf muscles. Like, I always like to make – well, you make fun of those top-heavy guys all the time, like Goldberg and whatnot. But Punk, I mean, when I can say I could probably get up to his size, you know, if I worked at it, it's just like, wow. I mean, aside from the fact that he's like – isn't he 6 foot or something like that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm a little bit short, but weight-wise, but they announced him at 222. Like, I mean, I could work to that. It'd be tough, but I could work
to it. Yeah. In your line of work, there's really no reason for it.
No, there's none. So, yeah, with him having small calf muscles, I guess, I got way off track there.
Yeah.
Him having small calf muscles is even worse than, let's say, Goldberg. There we go. That's really all I needed to say, and we got into it way too much.
Yes. Yeah, and then after that, there was a speculation. Oh, they showed – there was a picture up that he posted on Twitter, I believe it was. He put the WWE title in the refrigerator.
Yeah, I saw it, laughed, and like I was like, okay.
What else was there? And then the speculation was what was going to happen with Raw. Was he going to show up? Were they going to acknowledge it? Well, then it came out, I can't remember what sports reporter it was, but they showed, you know, they had pictures of CM Punk at the Chicago Cubs baseball game.
Yep.
And, well, that's not Green Bay, Wisconsin. So.
Yeah. It's a short flight, but it would have been a tough, tough one to pull off.
Yeah, but then he had some prime seats right around the dugout, so you could see him in the crowd.
Yeah, and then I think he sent out another tweet that had his belt on the Chicago Cubs sign on the field.
And then he sent out another one during Raw of some chick sleeping at the game, and he goes, is she passed out drunk or watching Raw?
Oh my!
I was just like, "Wow, man! All right."
That is outstanding.
Yeah. Which brings us to Raw. No, I mean, I guess knowing he wasn't going to be there. All right, so it was like, "All right, so you take that wait and see." Like, what are they going to do now? And a lot of people didn't like this show, but these are the same people who complain that WWE's logic doesn't make any sense. Oh. Up until the end of the show, isn't this exactly what they should have done?
Yeah. Yeah, no. I mean, I that is not a reason why I dislike the show. Even including my misadventures in DVRing.
Yeah. Yes.
Which I'm still trying to figure out, honestly.
Because you were, at one point you were watching the recorded version.
Yeah.
I was waiting to explain this. You were watching the recorded version of the show, all right?
Yeah, but so, I kept on flipping to channel 233. Like, I kept on flipping to What Is USA on my cable network.
Yeah. But see, what happened, though, is when you switch to the other network, when you go back, it wasn't going back to your DVR recording. It was going back to live. This is what I think happened, at least.
Well,
so
no,
you might have... No?
No, see, that was the problem, is that I thought I was flipping back to live, but I was flipping back to the DVR somehow.
Oh.
But I started watching Raw from the get-go. I actually flipped to USA before 9 o'clock at like 8:59 or something dumb like that.
Yeah.
I was doing my little intro paragraph. And, I watched it on there from then forward. And that's why I got confused. I'm like, how did I get to the DVR? I don't know how I got the DVR version. Because I was just flipping to Fox, Fox, Ohio, to watch the Pirates game, and then flipping back. And I'm like, why? And now I know why. Like, it was, and that was the other thing that was weird about it. I noticed the commercials were the same sometimes when I flipped back, but they'd start. I never had to hit play. that was the other thing that made it strange. I'm like, hold on. Like, if I was on the DVR and I flip back to the DVR station, I should have needed to hit play to keep on moving, not have it continue to play through. So I, like,
yeah, I'm, I don't
honestly,
know.
Like, I am so clueless. Like, it was one of those strange things. And like I said, like, I got through what? An hour, like, I ended up finding out that, like, it was around, like, 10:40 Eastern is when it started to happen. Like, I flipped to the game in between then. Like, I'm at a loss.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you now. So.
Yeah, no, trust me. I like triple checked. Like, I'm like, am I this much of a jackass? No, and I like keep on thinking it through my head. Okay, anyway, enough with my misadventures in DVRing. But you were talking about how people didn't like the logic of Raw.
Well, no, they were, alright, they were complaining about, alright, they were complaining, or the complaints I saw was that they didn't capitalize on the CM Punk angle from Sunday and the weeks before. Well, by definition, they couldn't capitalize on it. They repeatedly said his contract is up. Punk has gone on record in interviews. Midnight, it was up. Now, whether or not it's actually up or not is something totally different. But by their standards, by their storyline, it's over. He would, I mean, why would he show up? What, to rub it in? No, he said he was tired and wasn't coming back. So you really couldn't capitalize on him. It wasn't possible.
Yeah, I mean, unless he decided to pull, you know, like in, what, when Cena was fired by Wade Barrett, he just kept on showing up.
Yeah, but CM Punk's a champion. Why the hell is he going to show up, you know?
Yeah, no, there's no reason to show up. Like, if that's what you promise, is that your stated goal was to win the championship and leave Raw. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, why do you show up? Like, there's no reason to show up at all if you accomplished your stated goal. So, yeah, no, they can't capitalize on it, and the best thing that they can do is turn him into, I like to go back with to Harry Potter, they turn him into Voldemort. You're not allowed to speak his name.
Yeah, yeah, he who will not be named. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Or maybe we should, more appropriately for wrestling, say, turn him into Chris Benoit.
Yeah. Yeah, since that was the name that wasn't allowed to be mentioned, or that was the evil name, yeah. No, it. So that was my problem. And what do you do when you're champion? You don't have a championship. What are you going to do? Mope around and make Dolph Ziggler the champion of Raw? No. You go out, you reestablish. Okay, that guy's gone. We need a champion. Here's our tournament. There.
Yeah, that's what I did for my morning write up. I couldn't think of anything else, and I'm like, this is what they should have done. Like, Jake Shields left Strikeforce, went to UFC. They had a tournament to figure out who the next welterweight champion was. Like,
yeah.
And they did it for the heavyweight championship, too, when somebody lost it. So it's just like, whatever. Like, it happens in sports. That's what you do. Yeah. Of course, that's also why it made it so mysterious, why it was such a big deal if the title left with CM Punk.
Yeah.
It's now, just like, doesn't McMahon know that he can just start a new championship?
Yeah. Now, see, that I understand because the lineage has been broken, and that champion, you know, whenever you leave a territory or a company, you always drop the title. You never win it. So I understand that part, and I understand okay. that they can use that later for when Punk inevitably, and you got to figure he's coming back, comes back.
Yeah. He just sounds like he wants what most people should do is take some damn time off.
Uh-huh. Exactly. So now they got a built-in storyline for whenever, you know, or maybe by design he'll show up next week to interfere, you know, say I'm the only champion, this tournament's bupkis, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But I didn't get the complaints. Like, I can't believe, you know, they didn't do this. And, well, what are you supposed to do? You set down the rules. It's like in Star Wars and or something like, you know, Star Wars or Harry Potter. Well, all of a sudden in Harry Potter world, you can't pull a machine gun out and just mow wizards down. It's not the rules. You know, the rules are established. You have to stick by those.
Yeah.
And if WWE didn't stick by those, these same people would complain that they're not sticking by the rules. Yeah. So I was like, well, what do you want? Because it didn't pan out the way you wanted to. Anyways.
Yeah.
So, but Raw to me was a decent show. We got some decent matches. A surprise here. You got Kofi Kingston got the talk. You know, whatever. But so up until really the ending, I thought it was a pretty decent show.
Kia is deciding not to move off the cord to my headset, so I'm crouched over doing this audio currently because my cord is being compromised. So I just needed to bring that odd fact to a very odd show so far.
But
I guess I didn't like it because, and this goes back to our talk about Money in the Bank, is that, like, this seemed like one of those times where they could make a star or,
yeah,
you know, even if you don't have them win the tournament, if you have somebody string together a couple of wins and look impressive doing it and then, you know, barely lose the final to whoever your choice is, you can even make someone that way. When I saw the roster of people that they were doing, I'm like, okay, I said the only two that had a chance were Rey and Miz, and the final is Rey and Miz.
Yeah, and that was with Alberto being in there.
And you brought this up in the last one, and I brought it up in my blog. To me, it would have been interesting if Del Rio had won. And then he has the briefcase in his back pocket. Like, they always emphasize being able to use it within a year. I mean, how many guys hold on to it for a year?
Right. Yeah. We mentioned that before, too. Yeah. It just would have been fun. Especially if he loses it, but beats the guy down right after he loses it, cashes in his Money in the Bank case, and wins it right back. You know. The crowd thinks they're going home happy, but they're not.
I think that is a territory with that. Because they've done a pretty solid job. Because The Miz held on to his briefcase for a while. And that was the first time that they had done that. And, Kane cashed his in first night, which...
Yeah, that's at the pay-per-view, yeah.
Yeah, at the pay-per-view, which no one had done. So they handled both of those differently this past year. They had done some kind of... Well, Swagger cashed his in pretty quick, too.
Yeah, Swagger's was the day after WrestleMania. Well, Tuesday after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, since they were on SmackDown, yeah.
Yeah. I understand what you say, though.
It's a creative territory that they haven't gone to that they could have exploited. They didn't, and that's fine, you know. It's not a big deal.
I think they gave you that hope with Kofi Kingston. And then they yanked it right out from underneath him by having, Miz beat him, right?
Yeah.
By having Miz defeat him. And I wouldn't have minded that if it was the final, if it was Kofi versus Miz, especially with a week of build-up or hype about it.
Yeah.
And it's just me being a fan, but I wouldn't have minded seeing Dolph Ziggler beat Jack Swagger, get to the second round, give him a little mic time, and be like, well, I'm the U.S. champion, so I should automatically be the number one contender, or just mention something like that.
Yeah.
And then have Dolph and Ray go at it then instead of R-Truth and Ray, which, although the Ray-Truth match was pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, that was – I thought that was the best out of the lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Go figure. But no, they did miss the opportunity. And I also didn't see the need to have it all in one night, or be all in one night, I should say. Why not have it, you know, we got the first round this week, next week is these two, the pay-per-view, we're going to crown a new champion.
Right.
Because they're the old thing is with these tournaments, the crowd pops go down every time that music hits. It's just like, oh, we've seen this guy.
Well, it didn't help that Green Bay wanted to sit on their hands the whole time that that they were on TV, too.
True.
Wow. I mean, I know that it helped with Punk, but, you know, Chicago is always a good crowd, whether that angle yes. was happening or not.
But I think another thing, though, and I was telling Elise this, was every guy that was in this tournament, except Dolph, was in the Money in the Bank. No one was selling the effects of the Money in the Bank match.
And I think except for Miz.
Yeah, Miz, yes. That's it, though. I mean, Ray never bitched about his mask. None of that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And going back to, like, dragging the tournament out, why not have all of these guys facing different people? Now, I know those guys with Money in the Bank, so they, technically they should be the only ones in the tournament, but why not have Zack Ryder take on Kofi Kingston or Drew McIntyre take on Alberto? You know, mix it up, get some guys on TV, and the whole show is just a tournament, you know?
Yeah, and, I mean, they did that, didn't crown the champ, and then, you know, it was the week that there wasn't anything storyline-wise.
No.
I mean, absolutely nothing. I mean, that's, I guess that's where more of my, you know, my problem, I guess, comes in. You know, I guess it's more logistics. Like, well, like you're saying, don't have it all in one week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and that way you can put upsets in it.
Yeah, or
you could have done wonders, and I was stupid to bring it up, but it's like have Zack Ryder be the one to beat Alberto Del Rio. You know, just stuff like that, to where you can create not a guy who goes to the finals, but at least a guy that gets by that first round and maybe build a feud off of that. I'm trying to think of some other lower card guys. Chris Masters could have been it.
Well,
you know, have R-Truth be Chris Masters.
Yeah, and if they do that too, like, well, you include more people, and also kind of my point of kind of having someone, you know, go a little bit deeper. If you have four rounds instead of just the three,
yeah.
You include a lot more guys, which, shit, you're paying them. I still don't understand why you're not putting them on TV, really.
Yeah, well, superstars, but that doesn't count.
And, yeah, you can have little upsets like that. You can have a guy, again, go to the semifinals and lose and still start to look better in the crowd's eyes.
Right. Which, funny enough, that's what R-Truth kind of looked like.
No.
You know, he looked strong. It just Ray just got the better of him.
Yeah.
But, and as something Eric pointed out, all the matches had clean finishes. They established finishing maneuvers. Ray's, you know, 619 and then the splash and then Miz's skull crushing finale.
Yeah.
So it, all the matches, I mean, served a purpose.
Right.
So.
Yeah, no, I mean, for the route that they went, I, you know, it was good, I guess. Like, I guess obviously, like, the way we're complaining about it, that, it doesn't seem like that'd be the route that we would have taken in particular.
No, I would have stretched it out to the next pay-per-view, and at SummerSlam, you crown your champion.
Right.
And, you know, make people buy SummerSlam. I mean.
Plus, I mean, it is SummerSlam and all. Like, why not have something big like that at SummerSlam?
Yeah. I mean, you're obviously going to have Randy Orton and Christian again, but then you can close the show. I mean, I don't know. Especially if you're going to put the Miz and Rey Mysterio in, you're not really going out on the ledge.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was Kofi Kingston versus Drew McIntyre, well, sure. then you put that shit on Raw. But Mysterio and Miz, oh, you put that on a pay-per-view. Anyways.
Yeah.
But then, the big angle of the night was just odd. McMahon was going to fire Cena. It didn't happen. Cena went back to being John Cena out on the outside, slapping hands with fans and because he's not fired.
I don't know.
I guess I would expect him to be a little bit like, okay, and just walk off. Like, yeah, that's right.
Well, and the other funny thing is that the way Triple H was pausing, he's like, well, you're not allowed to fire John Cena. I'm like, oh, my Lord, is Triple H going to turn around and say you're fired?
Yeah. How awesome would that have been, too?
Because I'm like, you're not really out of the woods here, pal. You know, you can still get fired for insulting the lineage. Because, I mean, Triple H didn't specifically say that. That was one of the reasons they thought that, you know, he should be removed.
Yeah, they've given no... That was... I guess that's where the angle's a little weird. They gave no reasons for anything. Like, has McMahon really shown that he's not mentally fit? You know what I mean?
No.
Yeah, so... Maybe that'll come out later. But I'm not ready to shit on this angle because it wasn't CM Punk.
Yeah, and I still think it has a long way to go, too. Like...
Yeah.
Do we get... Like, to me, one of the first things I thought about is, do we get a resolution to the dumb mystery GM?
That's what I'm waiting for. Like, no mention at the pay-per-view, no mention on Raw, but the stand was there. So
yeah, the stand was there. But, I mean, yeah, they definitely have enough leeway. Even though I wouldn't have gone this route, it doesn't mean that it's going to be bad. So I guess that's why, yeah, I'm fine waiting for it. Punk, yeah. Again, going back to Punk, got to his stated goal, even if he's under contract, you know, and had signed a contract extension already, and literally it just said, like, dude, I'm taking this time off, let's just write it in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they could have an arc that is going to last 4 months or something.
Yes. Yes.
So, I mean, I'm not going to write it off. Like, yeah, okay, they didn't say that much about Punk, but they said that they weren't going to say anything about him.
Yeah.
Which they shouldn't. So, yeah, I mean, if this is bad and, you know, whenever he comes back, if he does, then fine. If not, we still saw a effing great match. And, yeah. We saw a great match and had a great moment as wrestling fans.
Yeah. All right. So going back, and I think one thing you said was that if it lasts 4 months, I was like, well, isn't long-term storytelling one of the pet peeves that they don't do anymore? So,
oh.
You know, maybe they're getting back to this, but no one's, I mean, no one has the confidence, and I understand. Because Triple H is involved, I understand people's trepidation with it. But, I mean, you know, he came out right after WrestleMania, you know, losing the match, but, you know, I walked out. Oh, God, all right. But I understand the trepidation, but I'm not that crazy to bury it without finding... We may not see Triple H again.
Yeah. That was the other thing. I'm like, who says that Triple H? Vince McMahon hasn't been on that much, honestly. Hmm. So why do we think that all of a sudden, just because Triple H was involved on Monday, that he's going to be everywhere? I think that was the one thing. That was the funniest thing to me. Like, I didn't read that many opinions, but I could definitely feel that vibe. And I'm like, seriously, like we. We have no idea right now. No idea.
Yeah. Now let's be realistic about this. Triple H is going to be on TV again.
Right.
But in what capacity, how much it's going to be, we don't know. And there's always that part of me that insists that he does know what's best. He may not always do it, but he knows what's best. And if he's not a full-time wrestler anymore, this may be one of those opportunities for him to show that he does know exactly what is needed. And just, you know, in creative, whatever he's in, and just go, all right, I can show up every couple weeks, but don't make me a focus. Put me in for like a minute. I'll make matches. I'll address concerns, something like that, and that's it. But if we get a 15-minute Triple H promo about how that was the hardest decision, blah, 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 then, yeah, I think everyone's fears are pretty much met then.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, there's that. Well, like I said, he can resolve the – I mean, even if he brings in a real GM and it resolves that mystery GM baloney,
yeah.
I think it helped because I honestly, like, I don't even think most fans, you know, that we don't obviously compromise – think about that anymore. They just have it as a giant boo a sign, basically.
Right.
It's just like, you know, you don't need to do that, and they could change that if they want to with new ownership or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think of what else. I don't know. Maybe Triple H is good in that role. I'm not sure. Oh, that's what I was going to say. I was thinking about this, is that Triple H, he's had bad luck with his signings. What was it, head of talent relations or whatever?
Yeah, new talent relations.
New talent relations. Like, okay, mm-hmm. You know, whatever. I still think the pregnancy is just bad luck kind of stuff.
Yeah, I know, but it's still, and, you know, one of his projects. So.
Yeah, and Sin Cara is definitely bad.
Yeah.
But that doesn't – just because his choices for that were poor doesn't mean that they're going to be poor, you know, and depending upon how much he's involved in this too.
True. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know how much, you know, he's going to be involved in the writing or not. So yeah. It's kind of tough.
Yeah, but I guess I'm just not one of those a lemming. I'm not going to jump off just because, you know, he showed up one night. Now, you know, obviously if it turns out to be more, then, you know, then we have every right to rant up and down about it. But
yeah,
it took him in a concise storyline. It set up next week's Raw for the final match for the new WWE title. And I guess next week, you know, the focus will be, if they're smart, it's building up that match all through the show. But then, as you pointed out, no new storylines were started. So really, next week, they need to start some new ones, but then SummerSlam's only 2 weeks, 3 weeks, something like that. There's not a lot of time.
Hey, yeah. It'll be interesting, like, you know, because it doesn't feel like anything aside from, you know, and coming from the pay-per-view too, nothing feels like is going to carry over except for the Christian Randy Orton stuff. Like, everything that happened at the pay-per-view, you know, I there isn't even the possibility, I guess, to me that something carries through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it isn't even like, they're going to forget about it or they need to forget about it or something. It's like there's nothing there. Like, the Raw Money in the Bank, like, you didn't see two guys kind of going at it or establishing a problem with each other. You know, and sometimes they do that, so you're like, oh, okay, that's going to be the next rivalry or that's going to be in the next pay-per-view. But they didn't do anything like that for either of those matches. So, you know, there were no indicators there, no indicators on Raw. Nothing.
Mm-mm.
I mean, they're really starting from scratch.
Yeah. And it would seem like this time to start from scratch would be after SummerSlam. Because that's your big show for the summer. But, you know, you have to do what you need to. or what you're pressed into. So what'd you think of the interaction with McMahon and Helmsley or Triple H?
I couldn't handle Triple H and his fake tears. Like I thought McMahon, like always, like that guy just he gets it done. Like he looked like he was legitimately crying.
Oh yeah, he was. I mean, whether it's actual sadness or not, something. But oh yeah, those are real. And
yeah, well, I mean, I guess when it seems like you're acting to me, like, or I can tell that you're acting, mm-hmm. and you're getting tears out of it, I don't really believe you.
I gotcha.
But with that, yeah. It was just like, dude, like, you know, you could have sold me that he was actually, you know, getting booted from his job and.
Yeah.
Like some of the people at the SEC evidently.
Or what was it, CNBC or MSNBC?
Yeah.
Dumbasses. But yeah, I didn't mind it. I was like, I'm not expecting a good acting job from Triple H anyways. The one that cracked me up and it wasn't supposed to, what was it, I Love You Pops? That shit just cracked me up. I was like, what? And then he walks out with his head down, and I'm like, what the hell was that? Is Lamont and Fred Sanford in the ring all of a sudden? I mean, what the fuck is going on? Ugh. But yeah, I mean, other than that, McMahon, you know, hilarious. the crowd was turning on him, and, you know, it's doing the ha or na-na-na-na thing.
Yeah.
But then they realize, oh, shit, wait a minute. And they started cheering for him.
Yeah.
So...
Is he actually off TV? Well, and that's the other thing. Like, he's come back so many different times.
How many times has he lost power? I mean...
How many times did he die and come back?
Yeah.
Of course, most of the fans at this point probably didn't see that angle.
Yeah, which is fine. Because it got forgotten because of an actual death the next weekend. So... Yeah, so I don't know. I'm not gonna go nuts.
Oh,
and
yeah, I mean, I don't think there is any reason to do so. I mean, it really. I complain about the writing most of the time. If they actually have an arc for this, cool. Let's see what happens. I mean, I think it should last, you know, 3 months at least. Like, if Punk takes off less than 3 months, I'd almost be disappointed.
Yeah, and hell, if I can drag it out till summer Survivor Series, be even better.
Yeah, and so. Then you know if he comes back around that time, you get things rolling, and you know he can have something good and solid by the time WrestleMania rolls around.
Yeah, or hell, Royal Rumble.
Yeah,
you know, position yourself. So.
Yep.
All right. Well, I think we've exhausted it. So. Yeah, just about 37 minutes. That's good. Good enough for a part two that wasn't supposed to happen to begin with. So, we didn't talk about the women's match, though.
We didn't talk about either of them.
Yep, and that's how it's going to stay. So I'm going to sign out. Thanks for sticking around for 150 actual Stunt Granny audio shows, not including interviews, WrestleMania audios, everything else. Feel free and follow us on Twitter. It's at Stunt Granny. You can follow me. I don't put a whole lot on Twitter. I usually use Stunt Granny for wrestling, but it's at J.E. Mays. Thinking of changing the name. So, Kevin, want to give yours out? That's fine. You got anything fun for us? Just let us know, and I'll leave it to you, Kev.
Okie doke. Well, I am DiFrango, DiFrango, 1111. For the Twitter, and yes, I try to hit up Stunt Granny every now and again. Well, it's time for my sippy time beer, so enjoy the two-parter episode, I hope.